welcome to Spingola Speaks. Thanks for joining me today. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Friday, June 24th. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, email me at deanna@spingola.com. Check my radio schedule page at spingola.com to see the guest lineup and links to their websites. Guest information is also in the RBN archives. You can subscribe to the archives for only $1.33 per month. Please consider donating to the RBN Pledge Drive if you have not already done so. For current news, read the articles on the RBN homepage at republicbroadcasting.org. Excuse me. We will take calls in the second hour at 800-313-9443 after our guest today has presented his information when we open the phone lines. My guest today is Stephen Goodson, and he is coming to us from near Cape Town, South Africa. Stephen, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy to have you on the program today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Great. Now, I read Dr. Ingrid Zundel's article entitled, entitled Germany Still Under Control of the Foreign Bankers, wherein she quoted you extensively. And after I read that, I thought, boy, I have to get this man on the program because I think you could really tell us a few more things that weren't even in the article. So here we are. You're in South Africa, and I'm in Illinois, and we're going to have a program. And I'm very, very happy that we could arrange that. Well, first of all, tell us just a bit about yourself, what you do, and a little bit about your background.
Yes, well, I studied economics and law at university in South Africa and in Belgium.
Okay, can you talk a little bit louder?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Then I worked for about 15 years at a number of financial institutions, insurance companies, and learning about the stock market and investing. And then I, about 20 years ago, I went private and have a small investment consultancy. And then more recently, I've been serving on the board of the Central Bank in South Africa since 2003. And I've always been very interested in banking and in history. And I found there's a link between both of those subjects. And that if you want to understand history, you need to understand what banking is all about. It's like a golden thread which leads you to all of the answers, which are our present education system and media so carefully try to hide from us.
Okay. All righty. And I love history. I think, I'm just a history buff, and I really appreciate history. I've always loved history, and I feel that it's imperative that we understand where we've been in order to understand where we are right now and where what the possibilities are. And, of course, I believe that the controlling elite have concealed much of our history so that we would not understand how the world works and our place in it. And this has certainly been deliberate. It's a deliberate dumbing down of history. And of course, if we understood how the banking industry has taken over so much control of our lives, and if we understand that history, then maybe we can get back some of that control. Okay, we do have to take a short 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Stephen Goodson.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.laysmedinc.com on the web. That's www.laysemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Stephen Goodson, and he is near Cape Town, South Africa. All righty. So you were talking about your background, and we were talking about history and the importance of history, and I think you're going to give us a bit of a history lesson here before we get into the meat of this topic about the occupation of Germany. So why don't you just pick it up and...
Right. We're going to start at 1066, which I think most people remember. That is when William the Conqueror invaded England. Prior to his invasion, England had very strict rules against usury, and if someone was found guilty, they had their property forfeited.
Stephen, you're fading in and out a bit.
If anyone was found guilty of usury, they were either had their property forfeited, or they were exiled. And what happened was that Edward the Confessor, he had just beaten off the Vikings in the battle in October 1066. And along came a new invader, William the Conqueror. And his campaign had been financed by a group of Jews who were living in Rouen in France. They'd been there for at least a thousand years. And they encouraged him to invade England. So about 100 of them accompanied him. And when they arrived, they settled there and brought over more of their people. And they received the protection from the king and were able to practice usury amongst the English people. Now, this had very negative consequences. For in a short while, well, within two generations, 25% of all English land was in the hands of these Jewish usurers, and they were charging enormous rates of interest. For a working class man, they would charge 300%, And for a nobleman, somewhat less, 33%. And not only were they engaged in usury, they also were involved in coin clipping, that is, clipping the coinage and then melting the pieces down. And also they were involved in a tin plate and silvering it and passing it off as silver. And other antisocial activities were selling all the, you know, at that time, trade was all done by individual items. You set candles, you'd sell iron goods. What they did was they combined everything into a sort of Walmart operation, and this caused a lot of resentment and obviously undermined the small businesses in England. So they became very unpopular, but what really tipped it was that they indulged in a religious practice, normally at the time of Passover, called ritual murder. And this involved abducting a pre-adolescent boy and then draining him of all his blood, and then this blood would be mixed with flour and into what they call rabbinical cakes. And this is not rumor, this is not propaganda. There are numerous court cases proving that this happened on a fairly extensive scale. And it really was the last straw, and the English finally decided that the Jews would have to leave England, and they were duly expelled in 1290. Under very reasonable circumstances, they were allowed to take all their goods and money with them. They had to pay a small tax. And from that date, July the 18th, 1290, no Jew could live in England, and if he was found, he would be executed.
Wow. Now, did some of them remain as crypto-Jews, kind of hiding behind perhaps a conversion to another faith?
I don't think, not at that stage. This was a complete uprooting. All 16,000 of members of the Jewish community had to leave. And I think because there was so much deep resentment against them, any Jew who tried to live under covert circumstances would have been flushed out. He wouldn't have survived very long.
Okay, so where did they go from England? Did they go to Spain?
I think that, well, initially they went to France, but France also issued an edict about 40 years later, and there is a rumor that some of them went to Switzerland.
Oh.
They were banned from England, and for the next 300 years, England enjoyed a period of immense prosperity. We often associate the Middle Ages with a sort of backward period of poor hygiene and a reduced life expectation, but that was not the case. And England flourished under a usury-free system. And the basis of it was, of course, was the tally stick. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but it consisted of two pieces of wood.
Right. Okay.
Do you want me to have a break, or?
We're going to break like in 5 minutes. But
Okay.
So you're okay. Go ahead and explain that.
Yes, the tally stick formed the basis of finance during the Middle Ages, and not only in England but also in Northern Europe. And it was made out of hazel, willow, or boxwood because these woods are soft and they split easily, and they're about 8 inches in length, if you measure from your forefinger to your thumb, and about half an inch wide. Although some of them they go up at feet in length, and the denominations were cut, indicated by different cuts in the wood. So, for example, 1,000 pounds was marked by cutting out of the thickness of the palm of a hand. 100 pounds would be the breadth of your little finger, and pence would be marked small little incisions. And then the pay was recorded on the fat side. So when all these details had been recorded, it was right in the center to the bottom, and one part had a hole in it, and that was known as the counter tally. and was held at the Exchequer. And then the other part was given to the payee, and that could be used for any manner of things. You could build a house, you could build a bridge or whatever. And then at the end of the period, when whatever had been constructed or done, then the pay would return that other half, and the debt would be relinquished. And there would be no interest involved. And as a result, there was no inflation during that period. If you look at the Hanseatic League, for 400 years, from 1200 to 1600, the price of bread remained unchanged. There was zero inflation. And obviously, everyone had a prosperous life, although they didn't have the amenities that we have today. They still were able to share in the good things. And this period of prosperity extended till around about the middle of the 17th century, when an unfortunate change took place. And that was when Oliver Cromwell became the... after he defeated the royalists in the Civil War, which lasted from 1642 to 1651, he became the Lord Protector. But he had used the support from a number of leading Jews who were located in Holland. They had fled at the end of the 1490s, after they made from Spain. They had found a sanctuary in Holland, and they always yearned to return back to England, their good old days. And they played a prominent role in financing Oliver Cromwell's new army. And eventually he defeated the royalists. He became the leader of leader of England from 1648 to 1658. And he continually received begging petitions from the leader of the Jews in Amsterdam, a man by the name of Manasseh ben Israel. And in view of the fact that he had helped finance his army, he returned the favor, allowing Jews to enter England officially in October 1656. They had been driven in surreptitiously during the period of Elizabeth I in the late 16th century by adopting the Christian faith, but there were very small numbers. Now they could enter England legally, and they came in their droves, and they brought about a huge change in the financial system, which culminated in the establishment of the Bank of England. Now, prior to that, there'd been no central bank, and the king had been able to issue paper money in his own name. But this was changed. The Bank of England ostensibly was established to pay for the wars of the new English king, which was William III. And it was passed through Parliament, not as a bill to set up a central bank, but it was part of a number of other acts. So it was stuck in the middle, and you couldn't really perceive it as what was going on. And furthermore, at least 20% of the parliamentarians could not read or write, so many of them didn't even know what was happening.
Well, that's kind of like our Congress here in this country. Although they probably can read and write, they don't bother to do that.
Yes, nothing's changed much.
Okay, we do need to take a short 3-minute break.
All right.
We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Look, Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Stephen Goodson, and we had some the Jews were kicked out of England, and they were kicked out of Spain in 1492, and now they're back in England, having arrived there via the Cromwell. And who may have been had some sentimentality towards them, or may in fact, why do you suppose he allowed them back in?
Well, he had a debt to pay, and also he was he believed that the Jewish and Christian religions were closely related, and therefore he felt an empathy with them.
Okay. Why was he wrong? But,
yes.
Okay, so continue from there. So they have the central bank by 1694.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And so this, then this, we're going to, you know, go into some big warfare here.
Right. So, as I said, the 27th of July, that is the date England lost their independence. And the Bank of England was able to create that the nation's money supply out of nothing at 8% interest per annum. One of the directors, William Patterson, remarked that bank hath the benefit of interest on money which it creates out of nothing. And the ordinances of this bank had been drafted by a Jewish barrister by the name of Sergeant Vince. Anyhow, over the next few centuries, a great empire would follow based on black and white slavery, sugar, cotton, silver, and opium. but it would be strictly run for the pleasure and profit of a small group of secretive bankers operating in a square mile in the center of the City of London. Well, the very next year, in order to pay the interest on these fictitious loans, taxes had to be raised. There were taxes on windows, there was taxes on beer. And England soon drifted into a sort of no-growth economy. There was permissiveness. This became the era of the gin palaces. There was much poverty. And as a result, many English people decided to emigrate, and most of them decided to go to America. And they prospered because they were not shackled by the rules of the Bank of England. And the American colonies became very prosperous. And it so happened that in 1764, Benjamin Franklin, who was sort of roving ambassador, was visiting London. And the English government inquired, how come is America so prosperous and we're so, well, not poor, but relatively less well off? And he explained it, that it was very simple. He said, we have our own debt and interest-free money, and we call it colonial scrip. We issue it in the amounts necessary for the economy to expand and for the increase in population. And that's why we are so prosperous. Well, the governors of the Bank of England were furious on hearing this information, and they decreed the following year that from henceforth only English money could be used in America, and they'd have to borrow this money, and they'd have to pay interest on this money. Well, within a year, the American economy, collapsed. There was 50% unemployment. There was great resentment. And this was the principal cause of the revolution. Although the last tipping point was the attack of tea, this was the background to the fight for independence. Well, America finally achieved its independence in 1781. The English left, but not the bankers. Within 10 years, a man by the name of Alexander Hamilton, who was half Jewish, he was born on the island of Nevis in the West Indies, where the Jews had set up various sugar plantations. And he persuaded the American Congress to have a central bank, which was entirely foreign-owned, and this would create money out of nothing and lend it to the American people. Well, it soon had negative consequences, and there was great resentment toward this new central bank, which was known as the Bank of the United States. It had a charter for 20 years from 1791 to 1811. And when it came up for renewal in 1811, Congress said, we're not having anything more to do with the central bank. We're closing it down. We'll create our own money, not be dependent on this foreign-owned bank. Well, you all know what happened the following year. England declared war. And they managed to burn down the White House. And they had some success initially, but eventually they were defeated. And so there was no bank, no central bank. But they managed to, these bankers managed to convince the Congress that you should have a central bank. But they provided a sweetener this time. This bank was set up in 1816, and they said the American government could have a 20% share in the bank. And this bank held back development in America, and again, it was a predatory bank, feeding off the prosperity of the Americans. And
okay, we have to take a real short 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back, friends. My guest today is Stephen Goodson, and he is coming to us from near Cape Town, South Africa. You were talking about the Second Bank of the United States, which they enacted the legislation for in 1816, and the U.S. government then had 20% of the proceeds from that. Okay, continue.
Yes, well, in 1828, I think one of your best presidents was elected, Andrew Jackson.
I disagree with that, but there's a lot of propaganda about how he got rid of the bank and how he did a lot of things, and that is basically not quite true if you look into the real, real deep papers. So, in fact, he actually allowed the Rothschilds to come in and be take over as the Bank of the U.S. In their dealings with France. So there is a lot of whitewashing of Andrew Jackson, who was basically a scoundrel who got rid of the Native Americans down in Georgia and down south so that he could let his rich friends take over and put up plantations. So I probably won't agree with you about anything you say about him. But if you just kind of pass over him lightly, then we'll be okay.
All right. Well, he did close down the Bank of the United States, and I think that was a positive thing.
Well, you know what he did with the money? He put it into his friends' banks. And his friends were all in New York. And the people that counted on the money for pensions and the businesses there in Philadelphia, where the seat of government was there. They lost a lot of money. And then his friends who owned banks speculated on Western lands with that money, and it was a big ripoff. So, yes, he did close down the second bank, but he just transferred the money to his friends' banks and brought in Rothschild. So, like I say, we're not going to agree on that issue, but I'm sure we'll agree on everything else that you say.
All right. Well, from that moment, America was free from the clutches of the central bank concept, and it wasn't the last that long, because in 1861 the American Civil War started, and it seems that I don't want to go into the merits of who was right or wrong, but it seemed as if the South were encouraged to split, because the bankers in Europe were concerned that America was becoming too strong. And Abraham Lincoln then tried to finance his war by borrowing, and was shocked when he was told that he had to pay somewhere between 12 and 24% on whatever he borrowed. And then he took the advice of his friend Colonel E.D. Taylor, to print his own money and to finance the war in that method. And it was successful, although the consequences to America were deeply negative. And he showed that it was possible to create your own money and to create your own prosperity. Unfortunately, he didn't create a state bank, which would have formalized that procedure. And so America lurched from the silver standard and from myriads of small banks who were often closing down under stupid circumstances. And there was no real central control. In the latter part of the 19th century, the overseas bankers generated a number of what they call panics and shortages of money, which caused a sharp depression in the economy. And these artificially created panics were a precursor to the imposition of a central bank. And that came about as a result of a very weak president, Woodrow Wilson, who had apparently been bribed as a result of an indiscretion with his secretary. So not bribed, he'd been blackmailed. And he therefore more or less did what he was told. And on the 21st of December 1913, that's the day America lost independence, when she lost the ability to create her own money. And that is a key date in American history. And from then on, the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, which is a privately owned bank, in which the Rothschilds have a majority holding of about 57%, and the balance is held by other European and American banks. They have, with their immense wealth, have been able to control the political process and the media, and to call their own agenda. I'd just like to go back on a tangent again. Just filling the pieces of the puzzle. In 1800, Napoleon Bonaparte liberated France by creating its own state bank, which he called the Banque de France. And he occupies a unique position in history, that he was the leader of his country, he was the first secretary of the Treasury, and he was the governor of the bank. And he enabled France to benefit from a user-free environment, but the British government was not strictly under the control of the bankers, wanted to get rid of him, and that is why they continually provoked all these incidents and wars in Spain and in Germany and so on. in order to destroy his money system. And once Napoleon was defeated in 1815, France became under the control of the international bankers. In 1815, at the Congress of Vienna, which decided how Europe should be, how the borders of
could you talk a little bit louder?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
At the Congress of Vienna, where the settlement took place, Nathan Rothschild from England asked son Alexander I whether he wouldn't like to set up a central bank in Russia, and he was firmly rebuffed, something which the Russians would eventually regret 102 years later. So we're now in 1913, where the establishment of the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, and then World War I started. This dates, World War I started more or less on 1st of August.
Stephen, stay right there. We can hear you really well, but when you move away from your mic or whatever you're doing, we're getting emails saying that they can't hear. So stay as close to your mic as possible.
Okay, carry on?
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, so 1914, the World War I started, and the principle, well, it was, first of all, it was kick-started by a Jew by the name of Gavrilo Princip, who worked for a Jewish organization run by the bankers called the Black Hand. And he... he assassinated the heir to the Austrian throne, and it's created the.
You're still really, really low.
Can you hear now?
Yes, right there. So stay right in that position. Don't move.
Right, and they declared war in Serbia, and in Germany wanted to had an alliance with Austria. And then it was all around about, concerned about mobilization. One country mobilized, you had to mobilize, and that brought about the First World War. But the principal motivation was to destroy the Romanov Empire in Russia. Because Russia was moving in great strides. It didn't have a central bank, it had a state bank. It didn't have to pay interest on its money, and the Russian economy was advancing. It was the biggest exporter of grains in the world. It had a first-class judicial system, and it was on the point of it would have overtaken America as the largest power in the world, and the bankers could simply not allow that to happen, and they created this war in order to destroy Russia. That was the principal aim of World War I.
Okay.
Once Russia had been defeated, then Germany—it was Germany's turn—and Germany has since the 1st of August has been at war for 97 years.
Okay.
Now, after the end of the war, there was the Treaty of Versailles.
Okay. After the end of World War One, the Treaty of Versailles. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We're still having a hard time hearing you. Okay, you keep fading out, and like you've moved off into the other room or something.
I'm sitting right where I am. Sorry about that. At the side, Germany was blamed for starting the war and having caused all the damage that other countries had sustained, and was forced to pay damages and reparations to the entire wealth of the German economy, which was simply not feasible. And therefore, the only way Germany could repay her reparation was if she borrowed from American banks. And it was really just a case of robbing Paul to pay Peter, and it was not sustainable. And eventually, when the Great Depression started in 1929, these payments fell away and completely. Now, the the period of the Weimar Republic was a period of great instability in Germany, and the country struggled to achieve its previous prosperity. And of course, the last straw was when the Great Depression caused so much unemployment and grief. In 1919, Adolf Hitler was demobilized, and he, instead of leading the army, he stayed on in Munich as an intelligence officer, and he was asked to spy all the numerous parties and organizations which were then sprouting.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
No. No, we really can't. And it's very interesting. I mean, we can, you know, we can hear you some of the time, but for yes. the most part, you're just not discernible.
All right.
Now you're good. You're good right now.
Well, maybe I should hold the speaker right into my mouth.
Yeah, that will do it. Yeah.
All right. In 1919, he attended a course to become an information officer, and one of the speakers was Dr. Gottfried Feder. He gave a lecture called the Abolition of Interest Servitude, and he was fascinated by it. He didn't think much of it. Some weeks later, he attended one of these little small party gatherings, and there was Feder again giving the same lecture. And that's how he became a member of the small party, the German Labour Party, which became the National Socialist German Workers' Party. And he wrote in Mein Kampf that, listen to Feder, he understood immediately that this is the truth of transcendental importance for the future of the German people. And the establishment of an honest money system became the cornerstone and raison d'etre of National Socialism. I've got a quote from Mein Kampf. He says, "The fight against international capital and finance has become the chief point in the program of the German nation's struggle for independence and liberty." So there, that was what National Socialism was all about.
Okay.
In place. A new economic system which everyone would benefit, not just a small select group of exploitative banks.
We are still having audio problems. I think what we're going to try to do during the break is to have our producer call you via your phone because,
yes.
You know, we're just getting maybe one word out of ten. And,
okay.
So we don't want all of our listeners to switch off and go to some other network.
You know, sure.
You know. So anyway, let me see if so we have National Socialism. He got rid of the Hitler got rid of the bankers, and so the bankers obviously came after him, and in order to well, of course they planned the war when they created the Treaty of Versailles. The Treaty of Versailles had all these reparations inserted, which would provoke anger within the German community, within the German government, and this was deliberate. They planned the war, and of course the governments, the Allies, put those reparations in, and they put all the blame on Germany because, of course, in order to get reparations, you have to attach blame to a particular government. When in fact, it was not Germany that started the war to begin with, but it was the Allies, and they had planned this war as early as 1897. Have I got that?
Yes, yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you sound good. You know, we...
Oh. Yes, I don't know. I got this first.
So I don't know whether it's your microphone or you know, whether it's the distance or something, but... yeah, it's interesting that we have this this volume problem. And I'm thinking maybe it's volume within the Skype program. Maybe if you go into options or into tools, options, and check to see if your volume is up or something. Is this the same Skype microphone that you use to talk with other people?
Yes, it is. I do sometimes have the problem that the call gets dropped. It's probably, a typical thing.
Okay, we are going to a break in just a few seconds, and then we'll see what we can do about the audio, because you've got a lot of very important things to say, and we want to be able to hear them.
Yes.
Okay,
all right.
We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
My guest today is Stephen Goodson, and we are having a few audio problems that we hope that we can work out. Continue with where you left off, and let's see how this goes. Stephen, are you there?
So yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So, Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933, and in 6 short years, he transformed Germany and reduced unemployment from 30% to zero. He provided everyone with debt-free and decent housing, excellent labor relations, and restored respect and honor to all Germans. In these six years, yes? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
In these 6 years, a workers' paradise was created. There was zero inflation, and Germany became the most prosperous and powerful country in the history of Europe.
Okay.
But a really opposition was being created on the 24th of March, 1933, when a self-styled Judea announced in the international press that it had a clear war in Germany. Now, things came to a head on the 19th of January, 1939, when Hitler dismissed Jalmar Schacht, who was president of the Reichsbank, who also happened to be a Rothschild agent.
You disappeared.
Attempting to undermine the German economy. For undermining the German economy. So, yes?
Okay, so Schacht was undermining the German economy.
That's right. And that was the international bankers' last hope of curtailing Germany, and they therefore turned into war. And this was instigated by an artificially concocted in Poland.
Stephen, we really do need to figure out some other way of getting your phone number and calling you, because it's totally inaudible. And talk to the board operator, give him your phone number, and meanwhile we'll just talk about something else in the meantime, okay? So go ahead and give the board operator your phone number, talk to him privately, okay? Or type it to him in Skype. Oh, okay. All righty. Okay, so we have a situation where apparently Schacht, Hallimore Schacht, was basically working for the bankers. And so Hitler did get rid of Schacht, and he had actually adopted a program that was created by a Mr. Feder, F-E-D-E-R. And this was a program where they could have debt-free money. And so one of the bankers that was involved in this was Bernard Baruch. And Bernard Baruch was so mad, so enraged over what Hitler had done by taking the getting rid of the bankers, that Baruch said, "That fellow Hitler is not going to get away with this. We are going to lick him." And that is what they did. Okay, we are going to the top of the hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in